Hey, a friend, you're now listening to the Shine to Five Method for Side Hustlers podcast, and I'm your host, Kristen N. James. But since you're here, that means that we're peeps, so you can call me CJ. The Shine to Five Method is a hub to help women-identified professionals who have a side hustle go from having a boss to being a boss. So listen for tips, guest expert advice, and my personal stories that will inspire and motivate you to take consistent action and shine in your own business so you can break free of your employee mindset. Girl, before you know it, you'll be well on your way out of your 9-to-5 for good, but only if that's what you want. On that note, let's get into this week's episode. Joining me today is Shirley Joseph. She is the co-founder of the Chanilla Network and the founder of Black Canadian Creators. And we will be talking about building a digital community and networking to grow your business. But before we get into the conversation, I must give Shirley a moment to shine. Tell us more about yourself, anything you'd like us to know. And thank you so much for being here with me today.
Thank you so much for having me. About myself. I am a December baby.
Okay.
I'm a Capricorn.
Okay.
And I'm a latchkey kid, so television and raised me. And I was obsessed with, you know, when I was a kid, I used to always pretend to be a radio broadcaster. I'd force my brother to be to be my co-host. And back in the days when my parents was used to, like, you know, before the internet, before what the beauty of WhatsApp, being Caribbean, where they would tape what's been going on in their week or the month, you know, to send it to the family. Back in Haiti, I used to take the little recorder and do my little investigative journalist.
I love it.
And put the recorder in the kitchen under the table, because that's where all the adults gathered, and record the conversation. So I can know their business, because I was a kid. Nobody's going to share their business with me. So I might as well find out for myself.
Yeah, exactly.
And then that grew into this kind of, you know, that's how I'd play as a child, to fast forward, decided to attend Humber College Radio Broadcasting and did that. I didn't start right away in broadcasting, you know, because around college, this is a time where I started my family, and it was an industry back then that it was really about who you know. And I wasn't willing, in order to be in the Toronto market, I wasn't honestly willing to move to somewhere in Saskatchewan in the middle of nowhere, somewhere in the middle of Saskatchewan, because that's what you needed to do in order to kind of find yourself on radio for the big markets like Montreal, Toronto, Vancouver, where you have to, like, move away in a tiny little town. And then just kind of, you know, slowly move back to wherever you want to be. So I just kind of paused that. And one day I was living in St. Catharines. And that year I had a lucky streak where I kept winning things and prizes and type of thing. And one of the prizes was iPod Nano. I'm aging myself.
Yes. And I know exactly what you're talking about. So we're from the same generation. It's fine.
Yes. So I won an iPod Nano, and I was scrolling through and just really trying to understand, like, every single aspect of the Nano. And I found this thing called podcasts. And so I went to it. And at the time, and this was like, over at least 13 years.
It's got to be. I'm doing the math. I'm going back.
Yeah. So nobody knew what the frick is a podcast. Like, you say, hey, I have a podcast, and they're like, what? And so that was the time when the majority of shows were it was comedy podcasts. It was mostly comedians who were hosting a show. And I just thought, dang, this is so cool. Like, this breaks all the rules that I've learned from radio, where it's like, you're not confined by time. I could share my opinion. You know, I could just say whatever I want. I could be as personal as I want to be. Or it was just really like, it just was this like new amazing thing related to the traditional aspect of broadcasting that I learned. And so I started listening to so many podcasts on that little nano, and would share one of my favorite shows with my hubby. And I said, oh man, listen to the show, it's so awesome. And one day we were just kind of like, hey, let's start a podcast. We wanted to start a blog because being an interracial couple and our perspective was different. And we were like, hey, I wonder if there's couples like us who are not afraid to talk about things you never talk about at work, which is politics, religion, and race, you know? And so we're like, let's start a blog, but we're like, we're not writers. Hey, how about a podcast, since we really like the genre and I really already had my understanding and training from broadcasting and taking that into the podcast world and his creative aspect in terms of animation. And we combine those kind of two skills that we learned in college to create this podcast that's called Chonilla. And so we did that for 5 years, but our kids were very tiny. And so after 5 years, we were completely burnt out because we were raising little kids, moved to Edmonton, and then moved to Montreal with little kids and doing a podcast every single week for 5 straight years. So we built like a good catalog of over 500 episodes, way over 500 episodes, I'm sure, but completely burnt out, and just life and just everything. And so during the hiatus, we took a huge 4-year hiatus. I was kind of still aching for podcasting, because for me, podcasting is kind of like my therapy. And I decided, like maybe around just before the hiatus, the last year of our podcast, we were very strategic the first 3 years so that nobody knew that we were Canadian, in order to build as wide of an audience as possible. But when we're in Montreal, we're starting to build a sense of, like, comedians in Montreal were starting to get to know us, because that's who we started to invite, because we were like, now's the time around years 4 and 5 that people need to know we are Canadian. Let's invite Canadians on the show. And especially when I wanted to have like interesting black folks that I wanted to invite, specifically comedians or content creators, it was very hard for me to find. And that just kind of stuck in my head. So the last year of the hiatus, the first year of the hiatus, I was like, you know, if I'm going to do a podcast again, there's got to be a way where I can, like, I just remembered, why was it so difficult for me to find fellow black content creators, from podcasters to bloggers, influencers, photographers, you name it, right? And I was really frustrating. It was frustrating for me. So I was like, you know what? I'm just going to start a pod. I'm going to do everything that I, all the mistakes, all the, I reverse psychology'd and I took all the mistakes that I did, or what I've learned from Chonilla, and apply it for Black Canadian content creators at the time podcast. And I said, you know what? If I had to do it all over again, not only will I create a podcast, but I'm going to build a community around the podcast. Let's see how that goes. And so the first thing I did was, okay, to make it easy for me is by building this community and knowing that this show is going to be focused on spotlighting fellow content creators. That was the reason behind building the community, being specific on the name, you know, because with Chonilla, it was a lot of explanation. And I was like, okay, everything, like I said, like check mark, like, okay, find a name that's easy to be searchable, easy for people to remember, build a community. and then create a podcast around that. With that and the frustration of, okay, why is it so difficult to find someone like yourself, you know, for me to have on, let me just start a Facebook group, see how it goes. I first invited people that I knew who had communities of their own. I'd invite them in the group like, hey, this is the idea of the group. This is what I'm doing. And one of the first 10 people that I invited had a huge community. Shout out to Ricardo from Black in Canada. Yes. And then he was like, so like, yes, that's great. Yeah. And he like invited like a huge amount of his community, like, hey, check this out. There's this group. And it just kind of grew from there. Like it was really, and continues to grow. Like now the Facebook group, I put a lot of the focus in 2017, 2018 with the group. It has good 400 strong, solid content creators. While there's 400 people who are waiting to be in the group because I'm meticulous, because I didn't want it to be all about just having numbers in the group. I wanted quality, real people and who actually are content creators are not like, are actually doing it. And it's great to have people who were like, oh, I'm thinking about it. You know, I was like, no, I vet every single person. And that's why there's like 400 waiting. Because I check everything. I go to their website. I check their social. Are they really content creators, you know? And I don't reject people, like, because I understand, look, like I said, 5 years and then 4 year hiatus, it happens. You're going to burn out. But you still created content. That still counts, you know? So those are the type of people that are part of the community. And I continue to look into different ways to create a spotlight, you know, because that was the other frustration for me when I created the group was I was sick and tired to, I didn't want people to feel like what I felt when I started 10 years ago in podcasting, like I have to hide that I'm Canadian in order to have as many audience as possible. Mm. And I was also frustrated at the fact that I don't want people to give people their flowers just because they made it in the US. You know what I mean? Yeah. I want people to get their flowers now, like here in their own backyard, here in this country in Canada. And, you know, because that's, you know, people like Drake, we didn't know about him. And unless you recognize his face and you watch Degrassi, be like, hey, that face looks familiar, right? Mm-hmm. But I tend to find here, like, we give people the spotlight and the flowers, not now, but when I started the group, where it was still kind of the same thing, where it's like, oh, now we're giving praise because that person made it in the US and is known in America and that kind of thing. So I felt like I don't want to wait for people to know just because they're over there. Let's get to know them now and be really cool to see creators that started here and see their growth and how they, you know, their evolution. And like I said, to give them their flowers now and not have to wait to be like US famous, you know?
Yeah. And do you find as part of building this digital community and you were filling a gap. You were feeling there was a need for it because even I was like,
I needed
Canadian.
It.
What is this, right? Because anytime you see them, like Black Canadian. But what was the response you find like when you first started, like where you are now? Like, and how have you been able to like leverage that you have this community and this is the purpose of the community? This is who we want to attract in the community, this type of talent. You already say that you vet people. But like, what was it? What was the response to what you find? Because we can be a little hesitant in the beginning.
That's it. I was just going to say exactly that. The thing is, it's like a lot of the things that I applied and the way I built the community, I did it because how natural I was finding what, you know, when we started the podcast, we connected with other podcasters, predominantly Black podcasters that were in the United States. And there is an air of sense of community right away, I find, with Americans, where in Canadian are a lot more hesitant. And if I just focus on Black creators, Black creators in the US, they're like, if they see you, they're like, hey, what's up? I'm a podcaster. You're a podcaster. It's just, it's like an unspoken sense of community with them. I don't know. It was just refreshing on how we would share each other's audience. Like, hey, I'll be on your show. You'll be on my show. You know, I'll be on this person's show. There's a sense of awareness, like, especially when we started to dive into not just, you know, recording a podcast, but also recording a live podcast, because we did that for a good 2-3 years in our show, where we do a live recording before Twitch, before YouTube Live existed, you know, before platforms like where we're recording right now existed. I don't know. It was just a natural air where it's like unspoken, you know, like, hey, I'll be on your show. You'll be on my show. Hey, I know that you're doing your live show on Friday, so I'm not going to do a live show on Friday. I'll do it on Thursday instead. Okay. You know what I mean? Like, and it's just, it was so refreshing. So that was one of the biggest pillar on how I created the community. I took this sense of welcomeness, this sense of right away community, looking out for each other that I received from the Black creators in the US, and then applied that digitally with everything that I'm doing with Black creators. I do find here in Canada, the hesitation has gone down drastically, but when I started, it's very difficult. And that's funny, because I just had like a meeting with some creators, and I'm like, why are, like, it's great that we are, you know, you'll have a guest on, but that's one of the pieces I do find, like, and I'm just focusing on podcasters with, you know, hearing, I find like here the Black Canadian creators still are hesitant to share each other's audience. And with the US, it wasn't like that. Like, it didn't matter the size. It was a matter of how good you are.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, if your show's good and it's entertaining, and it doesn't matter if you have so many followers, and, you know, I may have that much followers, or the other person might have little followers, but if we see that our audience can enjoy both, it's okay to share each other's, you know, audience and show and be on each other's podcasts. Here I find still it's more about, it's a little cliquish. It's a little more like, hey, I have 100K, you have 100K, or I have 3K followers, I have 3K. Like, we seem to have maybe the same type of audience. I guess my point is, I don't see that much Black Canadian creators collaborate enough. Like, it's very, very little in comparison to our counterpart in the South, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that's a huge strength for them, that they were able to survive and have, you know, be their different creative industry were able to survive within just the Black community. And that's still something that's, I find, missing here. And so the response was great. It's like everybody was sharing at first, like the first year or two, everybody was sharing their latest post and that kind of thing. And it was great, but it was like the challenge for me was like, okay, I know you're a content creator, but clearly if we're fellow content creators, you're not here to just post your latest episodes. Where the group is meant for us to support each other, to collaborate, to learn from each other. And that's still something that I find that was still kind of challenging here on the Canadian front. But they felt, but the biggest thing, it was a matter of like, oh my gosh, this is great, because now I could see other creatives like myself. And I have a space where if I have a questions, I know where to go to. If I'm trying to find another Black woman podcaster, I know where to go. Like, I know to hit the group, or I know to check in, you know, DM, you know, the Instagram account, or just scroll through the Instagram account and see who I can find. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's been great for that. It's been very receptive, you know? So yeah, it was kind of like, and it's nice that I was also thoughtful to be not to show my face because it's not about me. It's about the podcast, about the spotlighting the creators. So it's cool that when I appear in these kind of events and people have no idea who I am because I don't put myself.
Right. I had to dig deep.
I know. It's kind of on purpose.
I am. Now I know.
I'm kind of an introvert extrovert. Like, I'm weird like that. Mm-hmm. Like, my extroverted side comes out if I have a mic, but then I'm really like more of a like introvert kind of thing. Yeah, it's until people like I say, oh, this is my account. They're like, oh, look at it. Like, I love what you do. Thank you. Like, I get a lot of thank you for doing this because it's like so needed, right?
Yeah.
So that's nice. But I know that there's still for me, I feel like there's still a lot of work for me to do in the community. And, you know, this year, like creating more, what are some ways that I can help spotlight the creators outside of the internet now? Then that's the 2023 and beyond kind of thought. Like, what are some ways that I can help the creators to be seen outside of their, you know, their beyond their microphone, beyond their cameras, beyond like, right, you know, the book that they write or the blog or article that they write.
Yeah. And I know you talked about like it being Black Canadian content creators. Now it's Black Canadian creators. So
yeah.
Now I'm curious as to, because content creation, a lot of times people would think of like video or something on social media, but you just mentioned like writers or like blogs. Is there, who do you want to really kind of see in this as a part of this digital community to that will benefit the most from having the space?
It could be digital or traditional, from the digital part, which would be podcasters like ourselves and bloggers and, you know, writers and YouTubers and even influencers. Like, you know, that's, I know some people think like, oh, influencers. Oh. No, like it's a lot of work what they do.
Right,
they create content and they utilize social media. That's their zone in terms to create content. But also I think about the traditional ones, authors, you know, writing a book is a form of content. Filmmakers and photographers, videographers, these musicians, you know, songwriters, that's all content, you know? Mm-hmm. And so they are also welcome, because I know every time you hear content creator, people tend to lean on whatever that's online, right? Whatever that's digital. But even broadcasters, right? Like that's, broadcasters create content for traditional television and radio DJs and radio disc jockeys, that's content, like for them to put together and prepare and communicate what's in the news and what's the latest song. That's all content creation.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. I completely agree. So when you think about where you were, where you wanted to be, where you are now, and what starting, having, growing a digital community and networking, what that can do for your brand. Like, how do you feel like you've most benefited from starting this Black Canadian creators community? From starting it, what you had in mind for the community and creating it, you said, hey, like, I want to see other Black creators. But how do you find you've most benefited from starting it and creating it to where it is now? For you and your business, your brand, putting you said you're an introvert, extrovert, but like when you put yourself out there, like does it create more opportunities for you?
Absolutely. Yeah. And I don't do it often, but when I do, it creates so much opportunities. And so I'm learning to find the balance in that, to put myself a little bit out there. I told myself 2023, it's about two things. Putting myself out there and collaboration is huge for me for 2023. That's a huge goal. You know, like one of the things, you know, when I first started this, it was really just, hey, I'm frustrated. I can't find us. I need a way to find us. It just started that simple.
Right. Yeah.
You know what I mean? It'll be just a space where we can easily find each other. It's going to be easy for me because I have a podcast and I'll know where to go to find like the guests that I want to have on my show. super straightforward like that. But then later, I just kind of started thinking more of that actually experience, and this creating a community created for me to gain an opportunity last year. So I wasn't really pushing the community so much because I was doing social media for a company. And that really opened my eyes in terms of like branding and brand marketing and what I was doing for this specific brand, like in terms of being the social media manager for this brand. Mm-hmm. And so I thought, hey, you know what? I could apply a lot of this stuff here for creators, because I know especially nano and micro creators probably don't know half of how to, or realizing that they have to wait until they get X amount of followers in order for them to start monetizing. You know, like I really think if you've reached a good 1,000 and you constantly continue to create content, once you pass a good 1,000 followers and you have a really good engagement rate, mm-hmm. you can start making money. You don't have to wait until you have 5K, 10K, 100K in order to start monetizing your work. You know, like even us, when we started a podcasting, like what I say, 13 years ago, it was a huge like, oh no, we'll never have people pay for podcasts. And I remember when we talked about it, our group was talking on their show, like, we'll never do that to you guys, have you guys pay, you know, for an episode. And we were like, why? Do you know how much work there is to create content? You're willing to pay Beyonce for her music. That's content. So why not a podcaster? You know what I mean? And so that's where I'm heading in terms of it went from, okay, it'll just be a space for us to find each other, to now I'm leaning where I'm working for Black Canadian creators to become an agency. It's like, how can I help fellow content creators to get brand deals, you know? And you don't, like I said, have to wait to have huge amount of followers and numbers for that. And so one example of doing that is testing out a pilot that we did thanks to the welcoming arm of ACBN with Ryan Knight. And he was gracious enough. I said, hey, I have a wild idea, you know? And he's like, okay. And I'm like, what if I bring 9-10 creators with me to your symposium and we'll do kind of like a networking thing where your community of entrepreneurs can possibly connect with some of them. And if there's a connection, you know, because one of the things, everything I do, I'm always looking for what's the need, what's the gap, what's missing.
Right, for sure.
And I always felt like when I would go to create networking events, as specifically Black businesses, and I did it myself as an entrepreneur, you hope that you are going to be written about in a newspaper article or maybe an online magazine. And that's if you have good PR, right? If you can afford a PR person who can kind of keep like scouting out in order for your story to be told. Or you hope that your story gets picked up on radio and television. But the thing is, television and radio only gives you 4 to 7 minutes. That's not enough time for your business to be really known. And then when it comes to articles on newspapers or magazines, maybe online magazines, sure, it could be a little bit more, the niche target is closer. But when it comes to newspaper, it's so broad, right? Their audience and their who's reading the paper. I mean, paper's already gone down. It's mostly all online. So I was like, you know what, ACBN, what if, I mean, these are predominantly Black businesses, these are Black creators, it just makes sense that they should be talking to each other. Because how can these businesses utilize to have their, you know, like us as content creators, we have the biggest megaphone, right? We are like, you know, word of mouth on steroids. That's how I put it, right? And so I was like, yeah, let me bring these creatives. Let's see if we can do kind of like a networking thing and connect. And then if they feel they have some form of connection, then, you know, that's where I come in to kind of merge these two people, or, you know, businesses and a person, or businesses and a group, or a duo, depending on the type of, you know, business and content creative, in order to help them amplify their brands, right? Content creators is a brand, and they're in the business of creating content, and they know how to utilize and share with their audience. And with businesses, yes, they could do it themselves too, but then they also have to focus on the business, and they have to do the marketing, the PR, everything. So I figured, like, well, let's help them eliminate the marketing part, especially the online marketing part, and really bring in content creators that I vetted, because the vetting part is already done for you, that I know who are, have shown some form of consistent work, or I know that their work has, or their brand is very fitting with that business, and create some form of a partnership, basically. And that's where Black Canadian Creators is heading for 2023 and beyond.
I love it. I love it. You know what? And that was going to be my next question, is like what you have coming up next. But now you pretty much have laid it out. And the beautiful thing is you created this community, this digital community. It worked. It turned into a thing. It helps with networking and collaborating, being able to build a brand, bring awareness to Black Canadian creators, because we absolutely desperately need to be more collaborative. So it's good that you are in a position to, I guess, bridge that gap that you noticed. And with, you use words like, you know, connecting and merging, and, you know, if one person can serve another and vice versa, it's a beautiful thing can really come. And I'm really happy to have, like, found you and to be able to follow and be a part of the community as well. So it's, I love that, you know, thank you very much for sharing your story and just knowing how long ago it, since you started to where you are now. And it's also a highlighting that it's a long game. It's a long game because it really is. It really is. And creating content. The good thing about creating content, of course, is that you can repurpose it, and it's evergreen, and you can find other ways to use it. And a podcast episode can become a blog post, or a video can, you can do this with it and that. So that's the beautiful thing about content. But I wanted to, before, like, we start wrapping up, I wanted to ask you, knowing that you built this community, what is, and knowing somebody that's trying to start out, build their community or network more, what's like a nugget that you can leave with the listeners, like some advice or a tip, something that they need to keep in mind, and where you were 10, 13 years ago starting out?
Definitely, like, thinking about building a digital community, or even as a content, it applies both for if you're building a digital community or if you're a content creator. It's important to identify who is your target audience and their interests. For me, my target audience were Black creators, right? And specifically, their interest is to amplify their work, right? That's one of the things content creators constantly search for. They'll always search, like, how can I market myself? How do I get more audience? You know what I mean? How do I make money off of content, right? So those are the things that I always think about and look at and try to brew in my head, like, what are those things, those interests that I can bring for content creators who are my target? Definitely establish an online presence. I'm learning now more than ever. I'm experimenting the idea to show my face a little bit more.
Okay. To know, who the face behind it. Yep.
Yeah, because it's like, it's either that or I come up with a mascot, and I don't, you know, every brand has some form of either like a branding through a logo, or a brand through a, like I said, a mascot, or as a person. So I've learned that through my experience where I worked before, that there's got to be something that represents, something that people will tie that name with, you know. So I'm still brewing on, I'm still kind of like figuring that out. And that's why I was like, well, maybe like making more appearances in person is one thing, and also to try to appear more on my accounts, like whether it's an Instagram live and things like that. So it's really like, how will you establish your online presence is really important. Like, is it you as a personality? Is it the logo that you'll try to put everywhere? Like, you know what I mean? Subliminally, or be really upfront, engaging with your audience. And that's one of the things I would say, get yourself out there. Don't just post as a content creator to post like your latest work, but you know, it's that's what we call social media. Like, how social will you be, right? So engaging on social and commenting, but also going out there, networking, speaking engagements, things like that. I do find like a younger generation of content creators are amazing at that. They'll create their own event. They'll do a trivia game. They'll do a live recording of their show. They'll do dance hall karaoke. But like, there's just so such cool ways that I'm finding the younger generation of content creators are doing in order to engage with their audience, not just online, but outside of the internet, which is cool. And collaborate with, whether it's with businesses or other content creators, that's huge. Like, I find like that's the biggest push that's needed more and more in Canada, I find, in comparison, like in the US, they're so, so good at that. It's just, they're so good at that, you know? So doing that more, like, and that's like, I've had moments where I've worked with a content creator, and so that's something I'm thinking as well, where it's like, hey, that content creator is like, hey, can I like pay you to produce my podcast? I'm like, sure, let's find, like, you know, that person found a studio. I was there. I was the producer. And now we're doing that. Like, if I'm going to plan to do another podcast myself, I know I can go to this creator because we collaborated. I helped that person with, you know, starting off a mini production of their podcast to be on video. And so doing that more, collaborating with fellow creatives is huge, but other businesses too. And collaboration could be in terms of a partnership or your services, you know.
Yeah. And exploring each other's audiences. And
absolutely. Yeah.
Collaboration is a huge, it should be huge. Really, you know, there's room at the top.
It should,
really,
it should be part of your marketing plan for your content as a content creator, for sure. Right. Like, it's a must. Like, every time when I see these kind of like ad, like, hey, are you struggling to find to build your audience? It's because you're not putting yourself out there, right? So
put yourself out there too. Collaborate and put yourself out there.
It's so important. important. Industry events, you know, join online communities. I'm part of like WOC podcasters, which is Women of Color Podcasters. I'm currently like collaborating with Afros and Audios, like things like that. Like, one of the perfect collaboration we did in October, actually, I was like, it was me and this amazing podcast host. Her name is Chinima. She has an amazing show called But What Do I Know Podcast. And so we just kind of like, one day she called me and she said, hey, let's go to Afros and Audios. I'm like, cool. How do we like make ourselves let's not just go. Like, let's have a footprint in it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure.
And so we're like, let's invite some Black Canadian podcasters to come along, like to go with us, and we'll be a speaker. And that's a form of collaboration, right? We're like, okay, we had people amazing. I freaking adore
it's just people like working together.
So we had Nana Abba from Media Girlfriends who came, and we had the guys from Hustler Over Everything, and we all went to Philly to represent. We were the only Black Canadians in a very American space, and it was cool to kind of shift their mind. You know, the Americans were like, you know, I tend to forget y'all are up there. You know, we're like, yeah, we're here, you know.
so quietly here. Okay, so it's the nuggets, a few nuggets. I just wanted one.
Yeah, it's a few.
But it's all about really identifying your target audience, building your presence, knowing how you want to be represented. And of course, the biggest thing is collaboration. Collaboration is key. Yeah. I completely agree with that. I love working with like other coaches, other big business coaches, because I'm like, you're not me, right? And I'm not you. And we'll always bring something different. So when we work together, obviously, it's going to make something beautiful, right? So I love that, you know, thank you very much for being here with me, spending time hanging out with me and sharing your story and your journey. And even though you've been doing it this long, you still have, you're just getting started in some aspects. So
I feel like I am. Yeah. I feel like I'm, it's like a new step. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's almost like I'm starting over, but not, but it's just really an evolution that I'm going through.
Yeah. Evolution. And that's a beautiful thing about like content creation and entrepreneurship as we constantly, but you know what? We can keep talking, but thank you very much.
We could.
Thank you very much. This is what happens when two creatives get together, right?
Yes,
thank you very much.
Podcasters.
Exactly. For being here with me. And I'm looking forward to collaborating with you and us working together.
Oh, no doubt about it. You're going to go on my roller deck. Okay.
And likewise. But thank you so much for being here with me today.
Thank you so much, CJ.
So that's it for this week. But before you go, let me know. Hey, that rhymed. Anyway, what was your favorite part? Actually, you know what I'd love? For you to share your thoughts in a review. And better yet, sharing is caring. So share this episode with a friend. Want to talk to me directly? Be sure to check out my website, kristennjames.com, and you can book your 15-minute intro call. And there's always a gift waiting for you in the show notes, so take a look. Until next week, and as I always say, have a sparkling day.